Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Tory Taylor is not likely to be a Heisman finalist or wouldn't be in New York. He's certainly not going to win the award. But man, if it was just about the most impactful player, the player who is most pivotal in their team's success, Tory Taylor would be a part of that conversation. I mean, about 40% of his punts end up inside the 20-yard line. He has the most punts in the Big Ten by a significant margin, but also leads in punting average by a significant margin as well. So he's got the booming leg. He's got the accuracy. And I would argue there's not another punter in the country with more pressure on them than Tory Taylor, because the team is in a championship hunt and an offense that continues to put him in disadvantageous scenarios, and he delivers over and over and over again. You know, maybe 80 years ago, he'd have a legitimate chance. He probably doesn't this season, but man.
Probably doesn't. You're just talking about a punter to win the Heisman.
I'm not going to close the door on it, Dave.
He's going to win the Ray Guy Award.
Come on.
And he deserves it.
They have quarterback awards, too.
That's the most Iowa thing I've ever heard.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That is our good buddy Anthony Heron on the Big Ten Network stumping for Tory Taylor for Heisman. Yeah, it was a little bit out of bounds on that one, but hey, Tory Taylor is a great player and a great guy, and you, of course, hear him right here on The Score all the time. I bet he wears some Iowa gear into The Score studios for his next shift. We will probably collect some money on that, but we're going to talk about Tory Taylor. He is the punter from Iowa that the Bears took in the fourth round, 122nd overall. We will talk to him with his college coach. So let's head on out to the Score hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. The Iowa special teams coach, LeVar Woods, is our guest on the Score. LeVar, good afternoon. We really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
And I understand you and our buddy Big Ant are old acquaintances, eh?
Yes, Anthony and I have known each other a long time. We were captains together at University of Iowa, and then we stood up in each other's weddings.
That's amazing, and that's great. And Ant's a great guy, long-term Score guy here and a friend, so I did not know that connection. But you just heard him make a case for Tory Taylor. That was last season during the 23 season on the Big Ten Network. We know Taylor was a huge weapon for you guys, but had you heard him mentioned as a Heisman candidate there before?
I had not, and not with the fervor that Anthony went with. Pretty adamant about it.
Yeah. No, so we really appreciate your insight into Tory Taylor. I know Bears fans, I will say this, considering he's a punter and he was taken in the fourth round and the Bears did not have a ton of picks, the reaction has been, I think, overall positive in terms of the reaction to the pick and the excitement for the pick. It's not just any punter. And maybe if you could kind of expound on what Tory brings to the table and not just kicking for yards, but lots of the other nuances to punting as well.
Yeah, for sure. To start off, I mean, he's an incredible human being. You know, guy that you want to be around. He's a guy's guy, great guy in the locker room. Not afraid to call things out that aren't right, to get people in the right position. And he's also a little bit older, right? So he's coming in as a 26-year-old rookie, a more mature person than the typical 20, 22-year-old rookie that comes in the NFL. But as far as him on the field, there's no punt he can't do. And I think I'm really excited for him because I think Chicago fans are about to see a guy that's a motivated guy, a guy that's willing to do everything, sell out for his city and for his club. And I know Iowa fans and are really excited to have him in Chicago as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great fit. And, you know, he mentioned kicking in fall weather or winter weather at your home games and certainly across the Big Ten stadiums. But the winds down at the lakefront at Soldier Field, very tricky for the kicking game, both, you know, kicking field goals, but also for punting. But that is an area where he has had great success.
Yeah, for sure. And you get him anywhere near the 50 and let him go to work. I mean, he's a magician with the ball. He could put the ball in place wherever he wants to. And he's punted in bad weather before. He's punted in windy weather. He's punted in swirling wind. So I think he's prepared and ready for the opportunity. I'm excited to see what he does when he gets to Soldier Field.
We're talking to LeVar Woods, the special teams coach at Iowa. And I've seen it compared to a golf shot. Like he has that ability to like if you're trying to chip up onto the green and kind of place your ball as close to the pin as you can, almost in that manner for kind of killing his punts down within the 5 or 10 yard line. Is that a fair analysis, or how would you compare that to how he's able to do that?
Yeah, I think it's a great analogy, and it's almost as if, you know, to use a golf term, I guess he's got a bunch of different wedges in his bag that he plays with, and he can pinpoint this thing exactly where you want it, when he wants it, you know, out of bounds, check up at the two, whatever he wants to do. And he's very, very good with it.
And we know he's from Australia. Obviously, I've been joking around with his crocodile punter, the nickname a little bit earlier today. But how had that background and the Australian rules football and the kicking camps and things like that that he did before he even came to Iowa, how did that help prepare him for what he was able to accomplish there at Iowa?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I mean, he really sort of got into punting later. You know, he was working out of high school, got in the workforce, decided that wasn't what he wanted to do. He didn't want to be a construction worker forever. And I think his parents, his dad in particular, challenged him to go chase his dream. And it's a really, really unique story, really great story. I'll let Tori tell you guys that more in depth. But, his parents gave him the opportunity and made it available for him, and he went and chased it, learned how to punt, and about 7 or 8 months later, I took a trip over to Australia to watch him and see him. And, man, it was incredible. It was like I likened this to my son was playing Little League baseball at the time, and I told our head coach, Kirk Ferentz, it's like when you go and you watch little kids take batting practice, and then all of a sudden you go watch the Cubs or the major leaguers take batting practice. It's a different deal. And that's what it was like watching Torrey, during his punting practice. But I'm excited for him and, you know, his journey to come over here to the United States and get an opportunity to, you know, not only punt in college, earn a degree, and then, you know, go on to punt for the Bears is pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great story. And I don't know the whole background. So how did he come to your attention? I mean, as a kid in Australia, and he was in, the kick camp and whatnot, but is that how he came to your attention?
Yeah, so there's a group over in Australia named Pro Kick Australia, where a lot of them are former AFL, so Aussie Rules Football League players that maybe didn't cut it at that league or at that sport, and they start training and learning how to punt American style, and they've got massive legs, super strong, can pinpoint, particularly with Torrey. And, you know, for him, like I said, his AFL days were kind of over, didn't really have an opportunity to play professionally at that sport, and then decided to start working, and then kind of got tired of it and decided he wanted to go back and learn how to punt. And so that's how it came to me initially. Watched his film, and then did a little FaceTime workout where he was punting out in some windy, rainy weather. I know his coaches were trying to prove that to me, that he could handle the elements. And then fast forward a couple months, took a trip over to Australia to go see him in person and watch him punt in person. And it was, as I said, it was incredible. It's absolutely amazing. And then, you know, kind of fast forward a little bit, that was in January of 2020. So just a few weeks before the world shut down with COVID. And so he had to sit in, we were over here in the States. He was over there in Australia. He was supposed to join us, supposed to come to Iowa for an official visit in April, which that all got shut down with COVID. And then he was supposed to report June 1st to start school and start his off-season training in America. Well, that all got shut down as well. You know, so for him, he sort of sat there in Australia dealing with the pandemic and the virus and all the things going on. We were over here trying to, you know, our season got canceled, they're debating whether to restart the season. Can we even get this guy over? Can he get a visa to get over to the U.S.? But finally, he was able to, he took a trip to from Melbourne to Sydney to basically had a quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks without the guarantee that he was going to be able to get a visa to come over to the States. And if he somehow got a visa, he got over here to the States, had a quarantine in a hotel for another 2 weeks. And then our season, he rolled right into it within 1 week of training. So it was really, really quick, really fast for him.
Yeah, and not only that, but he had a great season, Big Ten Punter of the Year in that freshman season in 2020. And I have to talk about last season because, you know, we're here in Chicago. I'm an Illini grad, so, you know, we have the natural-born rivalry. But watching a lot of the Big Ten football games, even as somebody not specifically watching for Iowa, you knew about Torrey because of just the amount of plays that he made. And it sounds weird to talk about a punter making plays, but he was a huge deal for your team last year.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm with you where if you don't normally pay attention to punting or specialists at all, it's really hard to recognize a punter. But Torrey was in a class of his own and head and shoulders above everybody. And you start seeing him, he gets in, I think it was Penn State in 2021, I want to say it had five balls down inside the five, which contributed to us beating them. You know, they were highly ranked, and there's a home game for us, a big game. He ends up being Big Ten Player of the Week, but without Torrey Taylor, you don't win a game like that. We played another game in 22, first game of the year against South Dakota State. We were in a dogfight against South Dakota State, and they were a really good football team. That was their last loss, if you think about it, 2 years, two seasons they've gone undefeated. But Torrey pinned him twice inside the two. We got two safeties out of it, and that was the difference in the ball game. So as crazy as that sounds, and you know, you don't think of that all. Punter, he's a weapon, but you can start doing that. You pin people inside the one or two, and it's almost guaranteed points for the defense.
Yeah, and I want to ask you that, too, because the one criticism I have heard, and we're talking to LeVar Woods, the Iowa special teams coach, talking about punter Torrey Taylor, who was the Bears' fourth-round pick. The one criticism I've heard, it's nothing to do with Torrey. It's that the Bears used a fourth-round draft pick on a punter. What's your opinion about the draft position for Torrey?
My opinion? I think he went later than he should have. If you look at the impact a guy makes on a game and on a team, at least that's how it was for us. You know, he's in Chicago, which historically has been known for as a great defensive city. One of my first texts was to Brian Urlacher to let him know Torrey was coming his way. You know, and he's like, man, I've watched him for a couple of years. He's won games for you guys, but I think it's a great fit. I really do. And you know, you can argue what round you select a punter, but I think the impact he makes is incredible. And I've heard from other people that they thought he may be a third or early fourth, just based off the impact he has. So I don't think it's a too high of a pick or anything. I think it's a great fit.
Yeah, we actually heard, and we played it coming in, I don't know if it was this segment or the last one, but Rich Eisen from NFL Network was also pretty enthusiastic about the punters as weapons thing too. And it is the case. We saw it all season last year with your guys' season. We saw exactly what he brought to the table. So certainly justifiable, a position of need for the Bears. And I'm excited to see how it pans out. I have to ask you, as we let you go, and LeVar, we really appreciate you jumping on. As he's doing this, I mean, it is punting, yes, but it's also very skilled. Just the placement and the ability to land the ball down there. Like you mentioned, the South Dakota State landing two punts at the 2-yard line. I mean, that's I, I've watched football for 40-something years. I can't ever recall hearing that somebody is able to do that with such precision.
Yeah, he's very unique. I think most Australian punters have that ability innately, just based off the amount of punting and kicking that they've done growing up playing AFL. But I do think Torrey is head and shoulders above other guys that we've seen, and the ability he has to do that is incredible, and it can certainly be a weapon.
All right. Well, LeVar Woods, Iowa special teams coach, really appreciate your time today. We'll try to keep Anthony and Big Ant from making any other Heisman predictions for Iowa punters. But we really value your insight, and it was great to talk to you. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you so much, and go Bears.
All right. That is LeVar Woods, Iowa special teams coach, co-captain. I did not know this, Sean Sears. We are immediately learning things. LeVar and Anthony Heron were co-captains at Iowa. This would have been, what, late 90s? We can look that up. But that is great football isms, and he obviously is a text buddy with Brian Urlacher. LeVar Woods and Anthony Heron, co-captains at Iowa. And I know he was in Bears camp at one point. I don't know the year, but we will find that out. But anyway, he's currently the Iowa special teams coach. He was the coach for Iowa punter Torrey Taylor. I have heard, like I said, as we just told him, the only criticism I heard, people are very excited to have Torrey Taylor on the team. They just don't know that a fourth round pick was where they would have taken a punter. But as we have heard throughout yesterday, if the Bears did not take him with that pick, they would not have him. So we'll see how it plays out. It's another exciting piece, though. If you want to call punting an exciting piece, and I think in this case you do, if you're able with that reliability to pin teams within the 10, within the 5, that is an exciting pick. It's a huge heads up and a huge step in the right direction for the defense. And it was also something where you can use as a weapon as opposed to just straight punting, you know, where you're just trying to get as many yards as possible. We have rarely seen such precision in the punt game. 312-644-6767 is our telephone number. We are going to talk about the Bears draft as a whole here for the next hour and a half or thereabouts. Mark Grody will pop on during the 2 o'clock hour, but mostly we want to talk to you. 312-644-6767. Your ranking of this draft and what you're most excited about to see with the draft class and with this new look, extremely exciting and talented Bears offense. 312-644-6767. Text us at that number. Call us at that number. We want to talk to you next. Mike Esposito with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
He had this tape on YouTube that I played back to back. I don't know how I stumbled upon it, but he had this tape to a Lil Wayne track, and I probably watched it over 1,000 times of him returning kicks in the Super Bowl, and that just really inspired me. And I wore 23, you know, throughout my entire time as a Little League player, so a big fan of his.
Rome Odunze, one of the great skill players for Washington, back to return this punt, no fair catch, and he makes a man miss. Odunze to the left side, cuts it upfield, there he goes! Makes the punter miss. Odunze, he's going to go all the way. Touchdown.
And that's Rome Odunze. Did I mention that he returns punts? That was a game against Cal last season, and you heard him before that talking about watching YouTube reels. That's because his favorite player growing up was Devin Hester. Chicago Bear Devin Hester, Hall of Famer, of course. The first jersey he owned, Brian Urlacher. We just heard LeVar Woods, the Iowa special teams coach, talking about Urlacher, and he has Brian on the text. So Lots of connections and lots of great stuff here as we talk Bears draft. We're here till 3 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Mike Esposito with you until then. Cubs baseball tonight at 5:35. Our pal Matt Spiegel will have your pregame then. And then Zach and Ron with the call. Cubs at Red Sox at Fenway Park. But right now, talking football with you at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. That is how you text us. That is how you call us. We want your reaction and your thoughts on this draft class as we head into the 2024 season. It is a new look offense, and you can say that in many different ways. You have a new offensive coordinator. Luke Getsy is gone. Shane Waldron is there. You have a new starting quarterback. You have two new starting receivers. I will call them both starting receivers because normally you're playing three wides. DJ Moore, of course, was here. And then Keenan Allen, who was effectively your fourth-round pick. You traded the 110th overall pick to the Chargers for Keenan Allen, who had his best season ever last season. Over 100 catches, missed the last few games because of injury, too, because the Chargers were well out of playoff contention. But Keenan Allen coming in after an extremely productive 2023 season with the Chargers. And then, of course, ninth overall, Rome Odunze, and a guy that could have been, in any other year, the top receiver on the board. You had Marvin Jr., you had Malik Nabers, and you had Rome Odunze. Those three, a class above the rest of the receiver class in this class. Can I say class anymore? But Rome Odunze led all of FBS with 1,640 yards receiving. First-team All-American, also returns punts and kicks. We heard that coming in, the highlight against Cal. He's also, with a hat tip to Parkins and Spiegel, a Guwagi guy, a go-up-and-get-it guy. And we heard Matt Miller do that on the ESPN broadcast yesterday. That was kind of fun. But a go-up-and-get-it guy, that's the guy with a 50-50 ball. He might not be open, but you throw it up to him anyway because he's going to go up and get it. He is that kind of receiver. If you watched any Pac-12 football last year, or more specifically, if you watched the college football playoffs last year, because Washington advanced to the title game before losing to Michigan. But Rome Odunze had a huge season, great season, one of the best prospects in this year's draft in terms of overall prospects. So Bears fans should be very excited about getting him. 312-644-6767. Is the number. Love to have your feedback and your thoughts on the Bears draft class. We have Darren hanging on the line, and Darren is first up for this segment. What's up, Darren?
Hey, thanks for taking on my call, Mike.
Sure, Darren.
Okay. My prediction on Caleb Williams, they got weapons galore with DJ, Keenan, Rome Odunze. The offensive line is ascending. It's not great, but it's not bad. You can win with that. A running game. My prediction is, I'm going to say this strongly, I think he's going to get Rookie of the Year. And I'm not backing off of that. And I'm going to back off on this either. I think that we're going to see the Bears' first 4,000-yard passer. Because with those weapons, how are you going to cover that, Mike? I'm going to hang up and let you talk.
Right. No, Darren, we appreciate your call, and thank you for that. The Rookie of the Year thing is interesting because, right, listen, and it was said leading up to the draft in many spots, never has a first overall pick come into a situation as good as this one in terms of, because it's normally a quarterback. You look at the situation, for example, that poor Bryce Young stumbled into in Carolina last year. And we thank him for sucking as bad as he did because that helped the Bears land Caleb Williams. But you think about previous first overall picks, quarterbacks, even Peyton Manning, probably the greatest or one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, had a terrible rookie season. They won three games that year. He threw 27 or 8 interceptions. It was the situations are not usually this good. They're not. They're just not. The Bears lucked into this because they had made that trade last year. Carolina took Bryce Young, and they still stunk. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Bears got Carolina's best offensive player in that trade in DJ Moore. Thank you very much. Talking about Caleb Williams, though, he's coming in to a wonderful situation. Here is his head coach at USC, Lincoln Riley. Talked about because USC had a very tough season this past season in 23. A lot of people were trying to make that a reflection on Caleb. You know, they had a bad offensive line. They had a bad defense, a really bad defense. But here's what Lincoln Riley had to say about Caleb and how he learned from last year.
Yeah, I told him, listen, like it's gonna be good for him in the long run, right? Like you put up his career to that point, you know, won state championship in high school. You know, we won a bunch of games his first year at Oklahoma. We won a bunch of games our first year at USC. He hadn't really been through something like this, and certainly on this big of a stage. And the stage is certainly just going to continue to grow as he transitions to the NFL. And I just said, look, part of your ability to lead a team and become the player that you're going to become is going to be your ability to handle failure. And sometimes you got to go through it. Like you got to struggle a little bit at some point and build up some scar tissue to get you ready for what's coming. And that's so you're going to, how you handle this is going to be maybe even more important than how you handle any of the success or the other things that have come your way up to this point. And so, you know, the thing for him has always been, and I've always respected, when you challenge him and when you can put something to him that makes it a challenge, like, no, listen, you need to do this to become the player you want to be. And the other guys that you look up to, when they got in situations like this, they found a way to turn it into a positive. So if they can do it, why can't you? And he tends to take challenges like that and run with them.
That's Lincoln Riley, the USC head coach, talking about his now former quarterback, Caleb Williams. But a guy that knows him as well as anyone, he was his head coach at Oklahoma, and then Caleb followed him to USC when Lincoln Riley took the SC job 2 seasons ago. Caleb, the Heisman 2 seasons ago last year, struggled a bit, USC did, and Caleb did not have as great a season as he did 2 seasons ago when he had a better supporting cast, but still, the clear-cut top pick in this draft, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, Caleb Williams comes in to the Bears. And we to our previous caller, Darren, who's talking Rookie of the Year for Caleb, I would say that is certainly the expectation, Offensive Rookie of the Year for Caleb. I don't think there's any doubt. I haven't checked the betting markets, but I'm sure he's a heavy favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year for 2024. As for the Bears' first 4,000-yard passer, do we do that? Are we ready for that? If he throws 4,000 yards, I literally am calculating this as we are speaking, over 17 games, it's only 235 yards per game. It's not a ton. In a 17-game season, assuming health, which is, of course, a huge thing, I would not put that past him at all, especially with this passing game, the way it is lining up with the receivers that they have, with Roma Dunze along with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, the free agent running back who has previously been with both the Lions and the Eagles, but he was a big weapon for Philly last year. He was the Bears, if you recall, when free agency opened. In fact, he might have been the league's first free agent signee, at least the first announcement. It was like 2 seconds after the league year opened. If you opened up Twitter, there it was, DeAndre Swift to the Bears. They targeted him. They had the price range right. And within a matter of minutes in free agency, DeAndre Swift became a Chicago Bear. So you have Swift, you have Khalil Herbert, you have Roschon Johnson, a ton of skill at the skill positions. 312-644-6767. As we talk Bears draft, we want to hear from you. And up next on the phones on 294, driving safely, I'm sure, is Jeff talking Bears. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, always driving safely.
There you go.
Why should any of us have any confidence that Matt Eberflus knows what the hell he's doing as a head coach? Because he should have been fired last year. He's a good defensive coordinator, but as a head coach, not so much. And we don't know anything about Shane Waldron. I mean, yeah, we did this and he did that. But, I mean, if the head coach, Matt Eberflus, really isn't a good head coach, nothing is going to be guaranteed. And another thing is, what is this new defensive coordinator that they promoted from within? What's he going to be doing?
Well, Jeff, let's tackle your questions there one by one, because you're not wrong. When the Bears started last season 0-4, I thought Eberflus was toast. I really did. I will say this. Ryan Poles is the guy who wants Eberflus. He is the guy who hired Eberflus. He is the guy who has stuck with Eberflus. And he was the guy last year who said, no, we're not making a change. And you remember all the craziness going on with the Allen Williams thing and all the other stuff. I will say this about Eberflus. And, of course, having Montez Sweat traded to the Bears at that time helped a lot. But that double whammy right there, the trade for Sweat and Eberflus starting to call the plays, that was really when the Bears' season flipped. And it's not like they made the playoffs, right? But they were a different team after that. And I will say this to your defensive coordinator question. Eberflus is still going to call the plays. Eric Washington is the guy they got as their new defensive coordinator. He was previously the defensive coordinator in Carolina. I want to say he came from Buffalo last year. But he is a guy who is going to oversee the defense. Eberflus is going to call the plays. They're going to work very closely together. Eberflus is very hands-off, as we knew from the offense, as he should be. He's not. Nobody wants Matt Eberflus in there calling offensive plays or calling offensive strategies, which is the reason I think that the Bears got rid of Luke Getsy and they bring in Shane Waldron. And let me say this for Shane Waldron. I don't know a ton, but I know this. He had great success helping rebuild and elevate Geno Smith, the Seahawks quarterback. He had great success with a three-headed monster, call it, at wide receiver. The Seahawks last year had DK Metcalf. You had Lockett and Jackson Smith Najigba from Ohio State. So he's a guy that's going to come in and fit what the Bears are looking to do with this team. But in terms of your confidence in Eberflus, I will only say this, and this is what I kind of rest my opinion on. Ryan Poles was steadfast in his support for Eberflus. He did not make a change when he very easily could have at the beginning of last season because he felt that Eberflus was the correct answer for the Bears head coaching position. It would have been so easy. In fact, he would have gotten I don't want to say unanimous, but near unanimous support, right? If he had moved on from Eberflus last September. He chose to stick with him. And having Eberflus call the plays defensively, whether the Allen Williams thing was a headache or not, of course it was at the time, to have him depart as he did from the Bears, I still haven't heard the exact story, and I don't know that we ever will as to why that happened, but then to have Matt Eberflus, by need really, go in and start calling plays was a good thing for the Bears. And I'm excited to see how that develops again this year. We need to take a quick timeout. We'll continue to take your calls. Anthony, you're up next, so stick around. Everybody else on hold, please stick around if you'd like to join in. We want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Mark Rohde, our fine Bears reporter, will join us during the 2 o'clock hour, and we will continue talking about this very exciting Bears draft. 2024 is in the books. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, and company. We're talking until 3. We're talking Bears with Mike Esposito here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I love that when you got to Washington, you looked up the program receiving yards records so that you knew what you had to do in order to break them. Do you know who holds the Bears franchise record for receiving yards?
Ooh, Brandon Marshall?
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess. It is actually someone named Johnny Morris.
It's an old record, man. It goes back a long way.
Johnny Morris.
How many did he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
That's it.
In a career?
in, in the career. Yes. Man, he played in the the 50s and 60s.
Welcome
Rome.
To our world, Rome. Welcome.
Hey, man. Well, I'll go break that record and hopefully add a few thousand to that. So we'll go get after it. But, you know, I think we got some offensive power to do some big things over here. So, you know, 5,000 is the goal then. Let's get after it.
That's Rome Odunze, the Bears' second first-round pick, 9th overall, talking with Parkins and Spiegel. That was on Friday afternoon, and I love the natural reaction. Sean Sears and I, our producer, we've gotten some good chuckles out of that this afternoon. That is his honest-to-God natural reaction. He thought the guys were pulling his leg. That
in
5,000
and
yeah, exactly.
In the career?
Rome, I'm with you, Rome. I'm with you. Still, always, and forever on that. But yeah, you know what? That's a record from, I don't remember when Johnny Morris retired. I haven't looked it up. Let's call it the 60s. I most remember Johnny Morris as the sports anchor on CBS 2 News at the time. I guess this would have been late 70s into the 80s. Johnny Morris was their main sports anchor. That's what I remember as a kid watching Johnny Morris anchor sports on the nightly news. He still holds the record for most receiving yards for the Bears. No disrespect to Johnny Morris, who had a great career in football and a great career in broadcasting. But I think Rome Odunze has a real shot at Johnny's record if he pans out, because that is, you know, 3 good seasons currently. Let's put it this way.
If he does healthy, right?
He did 1640 in college last year. You just do quickly times that by 3, he's almost there. So on his rookie deal, he can very, very possibly get close to that. And listen, and I'm being optimistic. Let's say Rome Odunze is a good player in the NFL. Let's say he does become an elite NFL receiver. Let's say he is Ja'Marr Chase Jr. or pick your receiver, Justin Jefferson Jr. He will break that record easily, probably during his rookie contract. In a 5-year span, he will break that record if he's good. That's amazing. That's great to think about. And yes, I'm getting out over my skis a bit, but that is certainly what I'm hoping for. We want to get to your reactions. 312-644-6767. Our first caller in this segment, as we go back out to the phones, Anthony is in Brighton Park. Hey, Anthony, good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. This is my first time ever calling you, sir. I just want to say I think that Ryan Poles is a very smart man. I think he drafted extremely well. You could say that Caleb, Rome, and Torrey are all in the conversation for the best at their position.
Agreed. There's no doubt.
And so, taking that in consideration, there are some people who poo-pooed the pick of Torrey Taylor, but I don't think people are considering the fact that there's a rule change relative to the kickoffs. And Torrey Taylor would be a great weapon to land the ball within that particular area that would give the Bears the best advantage in terms of field position at kickoff.
Yeah, Anthony,
I was talking about that.
No, and we can bring that up. I will pull up the rule change on the kickoffs, and thank you for the call. And please call us back again. We appreciate your insights. I liked your first point, too. Think about this. The Bears got the best quarterback in the draft, one of, if not the best, receiver in the draft. We'll see how that plays out. And certainly the best punter in the draft, the best punter in college football for the last several years. And if we listen to LeVar Woods, as we just did earlier this hour, the Iowa special teams coach, just a really gifted in terms of ball placement and leg strength and just all of the skill aspects of punting. I'm not trying to overvalue punting, but I do agree with what Anthony just said. There are new rules, which we will pull up and get to, that will help make Torrey Taylor more of a factor on this Bears team. 312-644-6767 is the number. Kalamazoo, Michigan, Brian is up next on the Score Talking Bears. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so,
I am calling. Well, happy Bears anniversary, or whatever we're doing with this, yeah, with this fantastic selection and all that, right?
Yep.
Here's what I want to say too about this whole Matt Eberflus being a horrible coach, whatever. There's a reason he's on there, because he is a person that has instilled culture there. When there was a mistake made in hiring coaches, they got rid of them. When they've made bad mistakes, and you cannot, I don't know, you know, when I'm hearing sports guys talk about it, this is, I know they've never run a business. When you hire people, man, yep, you mess up all the time. I mean, yep, it's just part of the deal. But the thing you don't do is stick with the mistake. And that's what we've really seen from Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. They have, like, taken their mistakes as rookies, learned from them, and moved forward. And I think we're in a great position that way, too. They went out and hired the guy to run the offense. They got Matt Eberflus, like, run the defense now. Come on, man. We're rolling.
Yeah, Brian, I'm with you, and I think it's Mary Bearsmas. I think that is how we will refer to this with the draft. We do appreciate it, and thanks for the call. No, listen, I agree with what Brian said, right? I mean, the mistake is not making the mistake. The mistake is letting the mistake ruin steps 2, 3, 4, right? As a guy who coaches Little League Baseball, we tell our kids all the time, your physical mistake will happen. Your mistake, whatever it is, will happen. It is not, your job is to not let that mistake affect your next play or your next performance. And that goes for exactly what we're talking about too with Matt Eberflus. And I did this look this up because we had a texter say that Poles did not hire Eberflus, but that is not correct. Poles was hired when they got rid of the whole Pace-Nagy regime. Poles was hired, and then within days after that, although Poles was the interviewer, along with, you know, the other Bears brass, but Poles was the one who picked Eberflus. And you recall, or you should recall, throughout all of the interviews and all of the times, especially during the times when the Bears were very bad, and it didn't get any worse than last September, Ryan Poles never wavered from his stance on Matt Eberflus. And I agree with our last caller, Brian, on the culture thing, right? Everything you've heard from in that locker room, even when they were terrible, was that this was not a culture issue. This was not there were no issues within that locker room. And once Eberflus started calling the defense, and more importantly, once Montez Sweat was on that defense, and once you actually had a weapon in DJ Moore, the Bears were competitive. Despite all of their shortcomings, despite of all of the different things that came with the Bears, injuries, some of the limitations with Fields, having to play Tyson Bagent as your backup quarterback. I can't believe I mentioned Tyson Bagent on our draft show, but there you go, I did. The Bears were competitive. And that came from Eberflus, that came from having Sweat, that came from having DJ Moore, and Cole Kmet, certainly. But this was a team that they just needed more talent. It's easy to say now that we have more talent on the Bears after drafts, trades, free agency, etc. Think about this. If you had told yourself from a year ago when the Bears were 0-4 that the 2024 Bears would feature Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift, you would about do you know what in your pants, right? I mean, come on. You would. Keenan Allen was, before he got hurt, the leading receiver in football last year. He had the most catches in football. DJ Moore was fantastic as a first-year Bear last year. Roma Dunze was the best receiver, statistic-wise, in college football last year. I know Marvin Jr. got all the press. I know Marvin Jr. is a stud. No question there.
In a career?
The leading statistical receiver in football last year was that guy, Roma Dunze, who is now a Bear. So, yes, we're getting excited. Yes, we're hoping for the best in terms of what 2024 is bringing to your Chicago Bears. But I will say this, and listen, nobody knows. Caleb Williams, nothing is promised, nothing is guaranteed. But not since the drafting of Jim McMahon, and I think most of us were probably too young to even necessarily hold opinions on that. I know I was a wee youngster there in my Walter Payton jersey. I didn't know much about Jim McMahon. I liked him after he came in to play, but I mean, unless you are a Bears fan of a certain age, this is the most exciting quarterback acquisition since Jim McMahon. You can make an argument for Jay Cutler. When the Bears traded for Cutler, that was certainly a huge splash. But in the draft, there is no, I mean, I was not this excited for Mitch Trubisky. I was not this excited for Justin Fields. I liked Justin Fields, don't get me wrong, because I watched a lot of Ohio State football that year. But there were questions, right? And just like Trubisky, the same thing. A, you made that trade to go up from 3 to 2 to draft Trubisky. That never made sense to me. And number two, I didn't know a ton about him because he only started the 1 year at North Carolina. With Caleb Williams, you know, we have known for 3 or 4 years that this guy was going to be the top pick in this draft. He was that good, literally coming out of high school. I remember reading things about Caleb Williams as a high school player. This is very, very exciting. This is a pivotal draft for the Chicago Bears, for their franchise, and certainly for the Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus regime. It's also a pivotal draft for Mark Grody, because he loves the Bears, he covers the Bears, and he will join us to talk about the Bears. That's coming up next. It's Mike Esposito. We are here with you talking Bears until 3. You've got Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In the career?
Bears.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I love that when you got to Washington, you looked up the program receiving yards records so that you knew what you had to do in order to break them. Do you know who holds the Bears franchise record for receiving yards?
Ooh, Brandon Marshall?
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess. It is actually someone named Johnny Morris.
It's an old record, man. It goes back a long way.
Johnny Morris.
How many did he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
That's it.
In a career?
In the career, yes. Man. He played in the 50s and 60s,
welcome
Rome.
Welcome to our world, Rome. Welcome.
Hey, man. Well, I'll go break that record and hopefully add a few thousand to that. So we'll go get after it. But, you know, I think we got some offensive power to do some big things over here. So, you know, 5,000 is the goal then. Let's get after it.
That's Rome Odunze, the Bears' second first-round pick, 9th overall, talking with Parkins and Spiegel. That was on Friday afternoon, and I love the natural reaction. Sean Sears and I, our producer, we've gotten some good chuckles out of that this afternoon. That is his honest to God natural reaction. He thought the guys were pulling his leg. That 5,000 and yeah, exactly.
In the career,
Rome, I'm with you, Rome. I'm with you. Still, always, and forever on that. But yeah, you know what? That's a record from I don't remember when Johnny Morris retired. I haven't looked it up. Let's call it the 60s. I most remember Johnny Morris as the sports anchor on CBS 2 News at the time. I guess this would have been late 70s into the 80s. Johnny Morris was their main sports anchor. That's what I remember as a kid watching Johnny Morris anchor sports on the nightly news. He still holds the record for most receiving yards for the Bears. No disrespect to Johnny Morris, who had a great career in football and a great career in broadcasting. But I think Rome Odunze has a real shot at Johnny's record if he pans out, because that is, you know, 3 good seasons currently. Let's put it this way: if he does
healthy, right?
he did 1640 in college last year. You just do quickly times that by 3; he's almost there. So on his rookie deal, he can very, very possibly get close to that. And listen, and I'm being optimistic. let's say Rome Odunze is a good player in the NFL. Let's say he does become an elite NFL receiver. Let's say he is Ja'Marr Chase Jr. or pick your receiver, Justin Jefferson Jr. He will break that record easily, probably during his rookie contract. In a five-year span, he will break that record if he's good. That's amazing. That's great to think about. And yes, I'm getting out over my skis a bit, but that is certainly what I'm hoping for. We want to get to your reactions. 312-644-6767. Our first caller in this segment, as we go back out to the phones, Anthony is in Brighton Park. Hey, Anthony, good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. This is my first time ever calling you, sir. I just want to say I think that Ryan Poles is a very smart man. I think he drafted extremely well. You could say that Caleb, Rome, and Torrey are all in the conversation for the best at their position.
Agreed. There's no doubt.
And so, taking that in consideration, there are some people who poo-pooed the pick of Torrey Taylor, but I don't think people are considering the fact that there's a rule change relative to the kickoffs. And Torrey Taylor would be a great weapon to land the ball within that particular area that would give the Bears the best advantage in terms of field position at kickoff.
Yeah, Anthony,
I don't think anybody's talking about that.
No, and we can bring that up. I will pull up the rule change on the kickoffs, and thank you for the call. And please call us back again. We appreciate your insights. I liked your first point, too. Think about this. The Bears got the best quarterback in the draft, one of, if not the best, receiver in the draft. We'll see how that plays out. And certainly the best punter in the draft, the best punter in college football for the last several years. And if we listen to LeVar Woods, as we just did earlier this hour, the Iowa special teams coach, just a really gifted in terms of ball placement and leg strength and just all of the skill aspects of punting. I'm not trying to overvalue punting, but I do agree with what Anthony just said. There are new rules, which we will pull up and get to, that will help make Torrey Taylor more of a factor on this Bears team. 312-644-6767 is the number. Kalamazoo, Michigan, Brian is up next on the Score Talking Bears. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so I am calling. Well, happy Bears anniversary or whatever we're doing with this, yeah. With this fantastic selection and all that, right?
Yep.
Here's what I want to say, too, about this whole Matt Eberflus being a horrible coach, whatever. There's a reason he's on there, because he is a person who has instilled culture there. When there was a mistake made in hiring coaches, they got rid of them. When they've made bad mistakes, and you cannot, I don't know, you know, when I'm hearing sports guys talk about it, this is, I know they've never run a business. When you hire people, man, yep. You mess up all the time. I mean, yep. It's just part of the deal. But the thing you don't do is stick with the mistake. And that's what we've really seen from Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. They have, like, taken their mistakes as rookies, learned from them, and moved forward. And I think we're in a great position that way, too. They went out and hired the guy to run the offense. They got Matt Eberflus, like, run the defense now. Come on, man. We're rolling.
Yeah, Brian, I'm with you, and I think it's Mary Bearsmas. I think that is how we will refer to this with the draft. We do appreciate it, and thanks for the call. No, listen, I agree with what Brian said. Right? I mean, the mistake is not making the mistake. The mistake is letting the mistake ruin steps 2, 3, 4. Right? As a guy who coaches Little League Baseball, we tell our kids all the time, your physical mistake will happen. Your mistake, whatever it is, will happen. It is not your job is to not let that mistake affect your next play or your next performance. And that goes for exactly what we're talking about, too, with Matt Eberflus. And I did this look this up because we had a texter say that Poles did not hire Eberflus. But that is not correct. Poles was hired. When they got rid of the whole Pace Nagy regime, Poles was hired, and then within days after that, although Poles was the interviewer, along with, you know, the other Bears brass, but Poles was the one who picked Eberflus. And you recall, or you should recall, throughout all of the interviews and all of the times, especially during the times when the Bears were very bad, and it didn't get any worse than last September, Ryan Poles never wavered from his stance on Matt Eberflus. And I agree with our last caller, Brian, on the culture thing, right? Everything you've heard from in that locker room, even when they were terrible, was that this was not a culture issue. This was not a there were no issues within that locker room. And once Eberflus started calling the defense, and more importantly, once Montez Sweat was on that defense, and once you actually had a weapon in DJ Moore, the Bears were competitive. Despite all of their shortcomings, despite of all of the different things that came with the Bears, injuries, some of the limitations with Fields, having to play Tyson Bagent as your backup quarterback. I can't believe I mentioned Tyson Bagent on our draft show, but there you go, I did. The Bears were competitive. And that came from Eberflus, that came from having Sweat, that came from having DJ Moore, and Cole Kmet, certainly, but this was a team that they just needed more talent. It's easy to say now that we have more talent on the Bears after drafts, trades, free agency, etc. Think about this. If you had told yourself from a year ago when the Bears were 0-4 that the 2024 Bears would feature Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift, you would about do you know what in your pants, right? I mean, come on. You would. Keenan Allen was, before he got hurt, the leading receiver in football last year. He had the most catches in football. DJ Moore was fantastic as a first-year Bear last year. Roma Dunze was the best receiver, statistic-wise, in college football last year. I know Marvin Jr. got all the press. I know Marvin Jr. is a stud. No question there.
In the career?
The leading statistical receiver in football last year was that guy, Roma Dunze, who is now a Bear. So, yes, we're getting excited. Yes, we're hoping for the best in terms of what 2024 is bringing to your Chicago Bears. But I will say this, and listen, nobody knows. Caleb Williams, nothing is promised, nothing is guaranteed. But not since the drafting of Jim McMahon, and I think most of us were probably too young to even necessarily hold opinions on that. I know I was a wee youngster there in my Walter Payton jersey. I didn't know much about Jim McMahon. I liked him after he came in to play, but I mean, unless you are a Bears fan of a certain age, this is the most exciting quarterback acquisition since Jim McMahon. You can make an argument for Jay Cutler. When the Bears traded for Cutler, that was certainly a huge splash. But in the draft, there is no... I mean, I was not this excited for Mitch Trubisky. I was not this excited for Justin Fields. I liked Justin Fields, don't get me wrong, because I watched a lot of Ohio State football that year. But there were questions, right? And just like Trubisky, the same thing. A, you made that trade to go up from 3 to 2 to draft Trubisky. That never made sense to me. And number two, I didn't know a ton about him because he only started the 1 year at North Carolina. With Caleb Williams, you know, we have known for 3 or 4 years that this guy was going to be the top pick in this draft. He was that good literally coming out of high school. I remember reading things about Caleb Williams as a high school player. This is very, very exciting. This is a pivotal draft for the Chicago Bears, for their franchise, and certainly for the Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus regime. It's also a pivotal draft for Mark Grody because he loves the Bears. He covers the Bears, and he will join us to talk about the Bears. That's coming up next. It's Mike Esposito. We are here with you talking Bears until 3. You've got Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In the career?
Bears.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.